Manuel with you, 720 WGN. Morning show with Max and Orion coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. Roger Badish in the newsroom. Jess Rains answering the phones. When you call 312-981-7200, you can also text that number as well. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios in our new home on Wacker Drive, where
apparently the pizza delivery driver can't find it.
Speaking of exotic locations and ingredients, our friend Mark Shipper, formerly of DNAinfo.com, is in Spain. He's at the San Fermin Festival in Pamplona that I think is wrapping up today. But let's check in with him right now and find out for sure. Hey, Mark, how are you this morning, bud?
I'm good, Matt. How are you doing today?
We are doing good. So is today, Saturday, the last day of the festival, or did it wrap up yesterday?
Today is the last day. We had the last entierro this morning, and it'll end tonight at midnight with a ceremony they call Pobre de mi, Poor Me.
And what happens at that ceremony?
That is a farewell. We sing a song called Pobre de mi, which translates to Poor Me. Everybody gathers in the same place they gather for Chupinazo, and in the big square in the middle of town, we sing this song, and we say farewell. And immediately afterwards, we start saying, Ya falta menos, it is less, meaning it's one day closer than next year already. It's kind of an emotional wind down, actually. There's a lot of tears shed, and a lot of people say goodbye. They only see each other this one time a year, so it's kind of a nice way to close it.
I've seen some of the videos and photos you put on Twitter and Facebook. How big? Give us a paint the picture a little bit of the size, because it sounds like an intimate gathering in some ways, about when people are all going to gather in the town square for this, say, closing ceremony. How many people do you estimate will be there?
Oh, it's intimate, all right, in the sense that you have absolutely no personal space. It'll be tens of thousands. Okay, they'll pack the streets and they'll pack the square. It's there are a lot of people, and especially because it's ending on a Saturday, a lot of people come down from France over the weekends, and the closer to Bastille Day you are, which is the 14th, the bigger the crowd you get. So today it could be a huge crowd. We'll find out later.
About how big of a city is San Fermin? How many people live there normally?
It's around 150,000, okay. And the population, they say, during the ferries swells by like anywhere by to a million and a half. So,
oh my God,
a lot of people show up.
So is it impossible to get a hotel right there? Do most people have to hotel half an hour away and then come in every day?
I wouldn't say it's impossible, but you have to be smart about it. You have to book your hotel. Some people start booking their hotel just days after San Fermin ends. It helps to know people to get a place. I don't know about a lot, but a certain number of locals leave for the ferry. They just take off for the week. And they rent out their apartments, kind of. What's the rental service I'm thinking of?
Like an Airbnb type thing?
An Airbnb type situation. They rent out their apartments for the week and make quite a bit of money. But the hotel prices, particularly if you're in the middle of town, jump like four or five times, if not more. The hotels are extremely expensive.
Where did you stay? Do you have a friend that you made that you stayed with, or how did you pull it off?
Yeah, actually, I have a couple people out here that I know, so I'm kind of lucky. I got an inside track. I have an Airbnb style. I rented out an apartment from someone who lives here permanently, who just left for the week and went on holiday. So I have a great place right in the middle of town, and actually, I paid a good price for it. So I'm fortunate.
Interesting. So now, do you head out of town today, or are you staying a couple more days?
I will be here tonight, and then I get on a train tomorrow, actually, from Pamplona to Madrid. And I couldn't get out of Madrid tomorrow night, so I'll leave Monday morning. I'll spend one night in Madrid, and then the following morning I'll hop on a plane straight back to Chicago, direct flight.
Now, Mark, is this the type of thing you said that a lot of people are saying goodbye? They're sad because it's the one time a year they see each other. Have you made friends that you would come back to see, hopefully year after year, that you'll get together with and have gotten to know just through this festival?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I made some last year when I was working on the documentary, and then made a few more this year. And, we exchange emails and friend up on Facebook or whatever social media you have. And, I got a few more this year, so 100%. It'll be great to keep in touch with a little bit over the course of the year, but it'll be even better to see him next year. So, yeah, the plan is most likely to come back again.
Is it the type of thing that once you've gone to it a couple times, it's not, oh, okay, I got that out of my system, that you would like to come back year after year after year?
Yeah, you kind of get bit by the bug. It gets in your blood. And as the year starts passing by, it starts kind of boiling up and showing itself, and you start thinking about it, and you want to come back. So I can see, depending on how you take the feria, I could see it being a bucket list kind of thing that you do once, and you just go crazy for 8 days, and then you've done it, and you don't need to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for other people, it's something that's like a special yearly gathering. You look forward to it. It's 9 days out of every year, and it's something you want to do every year. There are a lot of people here who've been here 30 plus times, and others who are well on the right way 10 plus times, 12 plus times, and they have no plans to stop coming.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Now, last week when we talked,
yeah,
you had not run with the Bulls, and you were debating it when we talked about it last week. So now it's over. All the Bull runs have been done. Did you run with the Bulls?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did.
You did?
And I did do it, and I picked for my running day, lucky Friday the 13th.
Well, you're talking to us now, so you survived. Tell us about it. What was it like?
I did survive it. Yeah, it's as gnarly and scary as it looks. No matter where you see it from TV in person, it's an intense experience. The thing I think that surprised me most about it is how difficult it is to see the bulls and the herd. Part of that's because of the people, and part of it's because how fast it happens. I talked to a lot of people. I had a lot of information going into it. I had a game plan, which I think is the smartest way to do it, which is know exactly where you want to run and know exactly how you want to get off the course. And I had it timed out pretty well and everything. And by the time when the bulls got to me and I saw the spot I wanted to start running from, I followed my game plan. And there was a lead bull that had separated from the pack, which they call a swelto, which are the most dangerous kind of bulls when they're on their own. And he blew by me on the right. And I saw him and he was past me before I even really had a chance to figure out what was going on. So I kept running. He went past. He clobbered a guy up in front of me to the right. I actually didn't get a medical report on that guy, but I think he was gored. That lead bull smashed into another guy at the curve up ahead of me and just mashed him against the wall. But that guy was okay. He was wearing a Saquon Barkley Penn State jersey. Saquon Barkley was just taking the NFL draft. I was hanging around near that kid when the run started. And, so it's interesting. If he would have been hurt worse, it would have been crazy. You don't even know whoever you're standing by.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be there after the run's over, and maybe they won't. It's like you just kind of find out afterwards. I had a few people texting me making sure I was all right. And so after that lead bull went by, I kept running. I kept looking back over my shoulder, and the pack came through next, kind of wide right up above my right shoulder, and they blew by, and they were just gone in a few seconds. And when it was over, I was thinking, like, if something went wrong and the pack turned your way and a bull put you in its crosshairs, you'd have to be a major league expert to get out of there safely, because it just the speed of the thing at ground level is amazing.
So you actually, so it's interesting. Like, I always thought if I ever did this, I'd start out, I'd run a certain amount. Once a bull got near me, I'd, know a place to jump the fence and get off. Because you see a lot of times in the video highlights of people, once the bulls are coming, they're jumping over fences, getting out of the way. But you kept running or let them pass you. That's really taking a risk, isn't it? Because if, like you said, if one turns towards you, they're going to get you.
Yeah, most likely they will. I had my exit route, so I knew where I wanted to get off the course, and I wanted to try and run with them as best I could. I didn't want to get off the course before the bulls had showed up, or be gone before it happened. I figured I was going to do it. I wanted to try and do it correctly. But yeah, when it was over, I really thought about it, and it just happened faster than I thought, because I was so well prepared mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd watched it so many times. I'd watched every section of the course, and I talked to so many runners, and I had so much knowledge. I kind of thought I had it under control a little bit, but man, it's the difference between watching and doing. It's like watching a football game on TV and then getting in there and being stunned at how fast it is at field level.
I imagine it is. So from the time they release them, from the pen that they're released from to the ring that they enter, how far of a run is it? If you started right where they're released and ran all the way, how far would that be?
Yeah, it's a little more than a half mile with a lot of uphill sections, at least slightly uphill. The first section, not steeply, but a definite uphill grade and multiple turns. It's a little bit more than a half mile.
So if you ran it from front to end, 7 minutes really at the most, probably, unless you're getting delayed in some way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah, if you were a person running it, yeah, maybe. I don't know. The Bulls do it in just under 3 minutes or right about 3 minutes.
Wow, that's
so
they're hauling them.
Oh my, they are incredibly fast. It's crazy how fast they are.
And how many Bulls get released?
Especially uphill. Six bulls and six steers. So that's the other thing. The steers luckily really keep a straight line course. The steers don't want to run into anybody and they're non-aggressive. So that's good and bad. They keep the bulls moving, but when you're trying to run, you can really get blockaded by a lot of steers. These steers are very big, but they're very docile.
And the steers run in front?
So they run with. Depending, if you watch it on TV, when you see it, the steers are the big brown cows with the long horns. Depending on how the run goes, ideally, they stay together in a pack. Nobody gets gored, and these animals just make a straight line run to Plaza de Toros. But most mornings, they get separated in some way. And even these little just separated spaces are what the good runners are looking for. They want to duck in between the steers and get onto the bull's horns. So the runners who are good enough to do that, obviously the game has slowed down for them, and they can spot their openings. But the spot I ran in, there was that one swelter, like I said, who ran up front, but the rest of the herd was really tightly together. So when they blew by me, I saw mostly steer on the outside, and I saw some bull and horn kind of on the inside. But when they passed me, they were really in a pretty tight herd.
So the really good runners try to sort of mix in with the steer and then let the bull's horns get as close to them as possible?
Yeah, well, it's not really letting the bull's horns get close to you. They call it running en los cuernos, running on the horns, meaning just running up in front of the bull. And the idea is the kind of the mystical perfection of a run is having the bulls accept you as part of the herd. Not necessarily a steer, not necessarily a bull, just part of the herd, and you run with them. And that's what the great runners are trying to do. They're shooting for the mythically perfect run, which is right on the horns, right in the arena. And some guys here are pretty much doing it. They're good enough to do that.
That's fascinating. I got a quick call coming in from Scott in Wisconsin. Scott, you're on with Mark in Pamplona, Spain on WGN. How are you?
Very good. I was wondering if Mark ever tracked down, last time you talked to him, you said the meat from the steers or the bulls was sold. I didn't know if he had an opportunity to consume any of it or found out where it went.
Good question. Hold on. So, Mark, Scott was asking last week, we talked about the bulls that are slaughtered and the meat, and you thought it got shipped off to restaurants, things like that. Have you heard any more about that?
I don't know which places buy it, but I did find out that all the meat is pre-sold before the bulls ever enter the arena. So there's a contractual agreement in place. It varies completely depending on the region of Spain you're in and who has a need for meat. I did not find out if any particular restaurant in Pamplona sells the bulls killed in Pamplona.
So we know it's part of it is a big drinking party. Does the party during the week, during this whole festival, is it going all night long? Like, could you head out of your room at 3 in the morning and find people still in bars, or does it calm down at night and pick up again during the next day?
There's madness at every hour if you're looking for it. Last night in particular, because it was the last full night, it went on all night. I came in a little bit earlier. I took a little day trip up to San Sebastian to the coast to get a little swim in the water and relax. And so I was kind of in my room, and I was just listening out the window. The party went all night. Now after NCO, it's finally calmed down. I think people are going to go to sleep for a while and then come back out tonight. But no, you can get action any hour of the night if you want it.
All right, this is going to be a very 2018 question, but is Tinder something that people are using like crazy during something like this?
Well, I have a girlfriend at home, Matt, so I don't even explore these kind of things.
I'm not saying you, Mark. I'm not saying you would be using it. I just mean you're observing what's going on with the culture. You're a journalist, so you're seeing what's going on. And what I'm just trying to get an idea of, are there, you know, is this like, if it's a big drinking party, partially, so I imagine it's also a big hookup type of thing.
You know, I'm going to have to say right now that the Tinder angle is not a huge one here. Amongst the foreigners, people seem to travel in groups to this thing.
Okay.
So I think most of what goes on there is people traveling in groups with friends and then meeting other groups. It's much more of a face-to-face thing. There's also there's a little bit of a cultural difference between like Spain and the United States, Spain and England, Spain and Australia. And up here culturally, I don't know that the meet online and quick hookup culture is as big here as it is elsewhere. So I would say most meetup stuff is done here face to face, and it's done amongst groups who travel. You know, a lot of people travel in groups of, you know, 2, 4, 6,
sure,
8, and everybody just gets together at different spots. So I think it's much more of a face to face barrier, to be honest. And then the Spanish, the Basques, the Navarans, they're all together. They kind of stick with each other.
But it's very welcoming, right? Especially for tourists at this time. I know that the festival depends on tourists, but is it very welcoming to Americans right now in Spain?
Extremely welcoming. I think for me, in my travels, Spain is the most hospitable culture to outside people in terms of wanting to share their culture, share their food, share their music and all their events. They're extremely welcoming, friendly people.
Excellent. Well, any last thing to report before you head back home, Mark?
Well, no, I don't think I have anything to report, but it's a long week. At the end of this, I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to get through Pobre de Mi, come back, get another good night's sleep, and get on that train back. By the end of this week, you've been out in a lot of sun, and a lot of energy has been expended. So it's a great time. But by the time it's over, they have to cut this thing off at a certain point or nobody would ever make it back home.
I would imagine like, you know, as you're getting older, you're like, this is like 10 crazy college nights all packed into one. There's got to be times where you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, yeah. There are times when you just have to get off the street. It's like, I got to go to my room. I got to get some darkness in the bed for a little while or I'm going to go mad.
You can follow Mark on Twitter at MyTimesPros, at MyTimesPros, P-R-O-S-E. See a lot of great photos from his travels. Mark, we'll talk to you again when you get back to the States.
All right, Matt. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Thank you so much. Safe travels. Mark Shipper, who is out at San Sebastian. He was in Pamplona. He's there right now for the San Fermín Festival, wrapping up today. He ran with the Bulls. That is on the bucket list. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.